Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to talk about the Acts of the Apostles. Hopefully, over the next couple of weeks, we'll make our way through major sections of the Acts. It's so encouraging to read the unfolding of the life of the early church. And both, it's very inspiring. It's inspiring to see the transformation that happened in the life of the apostles, going from being fearful and scared around the passion and the crucifixion of our Lord, and having received the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see the very nature of what God is after, what he's done. What's the heart of Christianity, and what's the church doing in the world anyway? What's it here for? It's a reality that's born of the Holy Spirit, but it's born in the flesh of human beings who have surrendered to the person of Jesus Christ, and he takes weak, sinful, broken human beings, and he empowers them. He sets them on fire. He gives them courage. He gives them wisdom and insight. He gives them power to perform signs and wonders. He gives them clarity and an anointing to preach and to communicate the gospel for the sake of the salvation of the world. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see. The apostles are discipling those who are now becoming followers. They're becoming learners, just as the apostles learned Jesus. They lived with Jesus. They learned what mattered and how to live and how to put first things first and what Jesus was fundamentally all about. So they followed him, and Jesus poured himself into the apostles. And then when they were sent by Jesus under the anointing of the Spirit, they preached the gospel and gathered people to themselves, and then people began to learn Christ from them. And the whole church exists to form little Christs, as Dr. Peter Kreeft often has said. It's about imitating Jesus. This is another reason why the world, and why more and more people, I ended yesterday's program, I have this thought in my mind again today, more and more people are drifting away from the church because they don't want to be conformed to the Lord. Christianity means, and discipleship means, being conformed to Jesus, having Jesus as the reason why you live. He's the center of your life. He's the standard and measure of all that you do. And you're literally living for him. You know, some people say, you know, we're living for an audience of one. We're living for the person of Jesus. And we're looking to imitate him. St. Paul puts it this way, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. And so this is what you see unfolding in the life of the early church. And as they live that way, they don't decide they want it to happen, but they come in conflict with the wider world that's set against the Lord and against his anointed. That is, people who don't want anything to do with Christ's ultimate claim over them and over their lives. And what we're seeing today as people peel off from the church, as they drift away, is decisions are being made in people's hearts and their minds. And they're recalibrating their life. They're recalculating what they think is valuable, what's not valuable. Oftentimes thinking they're creating it for themselves and being radically autonomous and independent and forming and shaping their own lives and all the rest of that and sort of saving themselves, you might say. But really what they're doing is they're receiving the values of the world. And the reason this great separation is happening is that the world, the secular world, has gotten more powerful again, and it's radically pursuing values now that are set against the kingdom of God. And they're set against the Lord and against his anointed. And so now it's becoming difficult to live in the world. We're having to pay a price. We're having to pay a price of social nonconformity. And what we see is lots and lots of baptized people, and even people wearing collars, don't want that separation. They're not willing to live that way. And so they're either walking away from the church, or they're looking to accommodate the gospel. They're looking to take parts of the gospel that the world still agrees with, and then use that as their idea of what Christianity is. And we put away the rest, all that's offensive to the world. Instead of it being the other way around, that is refusing to offend God, we're okay with offending God. We just don't want to offend the world. We don't want to offend our neighbors. We don't want something negative to happen to us as a result of being a Catholic or being a Christian. And that's why people are leaving. And Jesus is exposing it. He's shedding the light on it. He's separating. There's a kind of separation happening. And what he's doing in the midst of it is he's pruning the tree. He said, when you know a tree by its fruit, and when its fruit goes bad, what do? You chop off the limb. You prune it. And Jesus said, if you're not with me, if you're not bearing my fruit, if you're not salt and light, you're no good to me. And so for the sake of the gospel and Jesus' fundamental passion and concern, Jesus is cutting off the dead wood. He's cutting off those who are indifferent, those who are embarrassed by him, those who refuse to engage his mission, those who don't want to share the gospel, those who don't want to live all that Jesus calls us to live. Now, the church is not the gathering of the perfect. It's the gathering of the sinful and the broken. The question is, what do you want? Jesus knows our frame. He knows our weakness. And that's why 70 times, 7 times a day, we can receive forgiveness and repentance, the repentance and forgiveness for our sins. He's merciful. He's kind. But what he really wants to know is, where is your heart? What is it that you love? What is it you worship? Where do you put your time, your talent, your treasure? Where do Jesus' priorities fit into your life? Are you living the life that Peter described of the early church, steadfastly dedicated, devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking the bread and the prayers? Or have all those things, have you drifted away from them? I'm amazed by how many people who call themselves Catholic, adults who've been around a long time, know very little about what it means to be Catholic, know very little about what Jesus teaches, and are perfectly fine with separating themselves from the fellowship, separating themselves from relationship in the church and attending Mass on Sunday and these kinds of things, you know, daily prayer. Those are just signs of people who have really turned away from Christ and are in a place of spiritual danger. So that's what the apostles now, as they live radically, what we're seeing in the Acts of the Apostles is they're going forward and they're going to start experiencing opposition now because people are beginning to follow them and their message is beginning to spread and the powers that be are threatened and they're angry and they start coming after the apostles. So beginning in chapter 3, Peter and John the apostle are walking to the temple to pray and to worship. They were good Jews, you know, they were believers in Jesus, but they didn't stop being Jewish. They followed Jesus. And Jesus was establishing the right direction where he wanted all the Jewish people of the world to go with him. But obviously they didn't at that time. Now, there's a lot to be said about that. I won't go there now. But it says here the following. A man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Those are, you know, just spirit, you know, financial gifts or whatever they give to him. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, "Look at us." This is so interesting, Peter's confidence here. And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them, like a financial gift. Verse 6, Peter says, "But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." How about that? Could you imagine saying that yourself to somebody in public? Peter knows who he is. Peter said, "I'm not a rich man. I don't have money, but I do know what I have. I have Christ. Christ lives in me. Christ has made his home in me. His Holy Spirit is upon me. He dwells in me as in a temple. I'm a new creation. I'm his disciple. I'm his follower. And he told me that signs and wonders would accompany the preaching of the gospel and that we should be ready for it. We should be willing to pray for people as we communicate the reality of his kingly glory and power and the presence of the kingdom in the church." I love this. "I have no silver or gold, but I give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus." In the name of Jesus. Peter will say that again and again. Soon he'll say here, there's no salvation in any other name than in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. A man who was crippled for his whole life from birth. Peter's saying, "I know what I have. and what I have I freely give to you. I heard a story once, might be apocryphal or not, but I've heard it a number of times, and Thomas Aquinas was walking with one of his secretaries, and he was walking near a huge church that was being built, big, glorious, beautiful thing, and his assistant said to him, "Master, no longer can we say silver or gold have we none." And then it's said that Thomas responded to him by saying, "And neither do we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." You think about all the power of the church. You think about the glory of the church that we had at one point, which is going away in many parts of the world. The glorious cathedrals and universities and artwork and all the rest, which is awesome. It's beautiful. It was made ultimately for the Lord. But the church got powerful. The church in some places got very rich. The church got very comfortable. It had the respect of society and influence. And friends, on the one hand, that's a blessing, but it becomes a source of lots of trouble. Because very easily, the Lord is no longer our portion and cup. Jesus, the Son of Man, had no place to lay his head. He relied on the Father. The apostles are saying here, Peter's saying, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give you. It can happen that we become so attached to the material realities, to the power, to the identity, to the positions, to the hierarchical positions, you name it, that we no longer bear the anointing and the power that the apostles are communicating right here. Because we're looking to something other than the Lord. I mean, even the church can become an idol. That's partly what we see in society today for some people. We can have all the trappings, but none of the power. The power to change lives, the power to bring God's kingdom in power to other people. So the reading goes on, verse 7. And he took him by the right hand, that is, Peter took the lame man, and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That's one of the things Jesus provokes in people. Wonder. Amazement. C.S. Lewis, at one point, I think, said Jesus produced only wonder, obedience, or hatred in people, something like that. And here this man who's been touched by God is filled with wonder, and it's by the name of Jesus that he stood and walked and was restored. So he's walking and leaping and praising God. And so Peter goes on in that moment to proclaim the gospel, and he'll speak clearly that it's Jesus who delivered him, it's Jesus who raised him up, and that this Jesus who was crucified, he said, "You crucified the author of life, and we're witnesses today to his resurrection. And because he rose from the dead, this man now stands healed." It's Jesus who did it. And then Peter called them to repentance and faith. Friends, let's live the gospel radically. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.